Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Yo, what's good? It's Black Trey, and I got a show called Growing Up the Same with Jason Madison, where we talk to guests about their childhood memories that I'm sure everyone can relate to. You even get some life advice at the end. Our show has featured guests like Dom Kennedy, JJ Redick, Baron Davis, Brian Koppelman, Bomani Jones, Mina Kimes, and many more. Be sure to check us out on the Black Opinions Matter feed under the Count the Dings Network. Oh yeah, and don't forget to tell a friend to subscribe, rate, and review.
And also subscribe, rate, and review to the separate Growing Up the Same feed.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. And you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Boom shakalaka. And now here's their starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Boom shakalaka.
And today we got a special guest. We got Stolly. What's the deal?
What's going on? Peace, peace. How y'all doing?
We good, man. We good. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep. Stolly is an American rapper and founder of the Blue Collar record label.
And now it's time for the one or the two with J Skills.
Blogs or streaming?
Ooh. Streaming, because I get paid from it.
Wiz or Currency?
Ooh, that's tough too. Damn. I'm going to say... I got to pick one. I can't pick both. Those the homies, you know what I'm saying? I want to have to pick through the homies, man. But if I have to pick one, I'm going to say Spitter because we got records together, you know what I'm saying? But I love Wiz too. That's the homie, man.
Yep. Albums or mixtapes?
Ooh, that's a, these are great. I'm going to say mixtapes for me.
Okay.
I like the energy of mixtapes.
Jordan or LeBron?
LeBron.
Wow. I think that might that might be our first LeBron answer.
I'm from Ohio, baby. I can't go against LeBron, man. Yeah,
you're a witness.
Yeah, I was witness. I seen it.
I don't know if you're an avid reader, but 48 Laws of Power or the Four Agreements?
48 Laws of Power.
The Cavs or the Indians?
The Indians.
The Browns or the Buckeyes?
The Buckeyes.
Sandy Alomar or Kenny Lofton?
Sandy.
Jim Jones or Juelz?
Jim Jones.
Chic or Styles?
Styles.
Bad Boy or Rough Riders?
Whew. Bad Boy because of B.I.G.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snoop or DMX?
I'm going to say both, man. Rest in peace, X. I got to say both. I can't pick. Through the.
Yeah. Illmatic or Doggy Style?
Illmatic.
Vita Guerra or Malaya Michelle?
Dang, I don't know if I know who Malaya? The second one is. Yeah, Malaya is.
She was.
I'm gonna say Vita because I remember her as a as a kid growing up. She was in all the videos, so I'm gonna say Vita.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram for me. I ain't got into TikTok yet.
I feel you. It's hard.
It's hard. I would say Instagram.
Yeah. Boomerang or Poetic Justice?
Boomerang.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper or the Wayans Brothers Show?
The Wayans Brothers.
Jamie Foxx or Will Smith?
As an actor?
I would just say all around.
All around? Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise?
Tom Hanks.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Deeper Than Rap or Teflon Don?
Teflon Don.
Aaron Hall or Johnny Gill?
Johnny Gill.
Babyface or Teddy Riley?
Teddy Riley.
New Jack City or Paid in Full?
Paid in Full.
Dame Dash or Irv Gotti?
Dame Dash.
Birdman or Suge Knight?
I'll say
right. It might be
I'll say Birdman.
Timbaland or the Neptunes?
The Neptunes.
OBJ or Julio Jones?
OBJ.
Russell Simmons or Bill Cosby?
Neither. Neither. I can't mess with those. Yeah.
The Office or Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Curb.
Text or phone calls?
Text.
Trump or Biden?
Neither.
Mask or no mask?
Mask because it's necessary, but I don't like them.
The summer or the winter Olympics?
Summer Olympics.
Yo, Jay, you know what they're reminding me of?
What?
When Dom said, I don't like condoms, but I'd rather we use them.
Nah, that's a fact.
Exactly.
That's a fact. That's how I feel about the mask for sure.
Yeah, real shit.
Yeah.
Skateboarding or skiing?
Skateboarding.
Simone.
But I like both. I like snowboarding, skiing, but yeah, skateboarding for sure.
Yeah, I never been skiing. I gotta go.
Yeah, you do. It's dope.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Simone Biles or Dominique Dawes?
Ooh, Simone Biles. She from Ohio. The GOAT.
Yeah. Sure. USA Basketball.
A real GOAT.
Yeah.
USA Basketball or NBA All-Star Team? Either conference.
Oh, man. You mean this year?
Yeah, this year's USA Basketball Team or NBA – one of the NBA All-Star teams.
One of the All-Star teams.
Europe or Asia?
Ooh. That's a good one. I'll say Europe.
Yeah. L.A. or New York?
New York.
Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Brooklyn.
Indica or sativa?
I used to be sativa, but I think indica now.
Yeah. I think I'm the reverse.
you reversed it? Okay. I was heavy sativa, but I think it's indica now.
Yeah. Papers or backwoods?
Papers.
Yeah. Versus or Rolling Loud?
Versus. I'd rather be home away from niggas.
But, yeah. Rap now or rap 10 years ago?
That's really good, too. I like both, but... Now. I like now.
A lot of chains or no chains?
No chains.
Yeah. Independent or a label?
Indie.
PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Bitcoin or stocks?
Stocks.
And the last one, health or wealth?
Health, man. Physical and mental.
Yep.
I'm all about it.
Yep. Well, that's the one of the brother.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, man. I was Jay always bringing it every week, man. Dope ass questions.
Nah, those are amazing, man. Like, I was actually stumped on a couple of them. Like,
hey, but you was good to say King over MJ.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say King over MJ, man. I still, you feel whatever about him, but I feel like there's nobody better at playing the game of basketball than LeBron. That's just my
opinion. I don't want to turn this into a debate show.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Trey is all Jordan all day. Hey, I want to be.
I know.
I was like, all right, man, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to let you cook.
I'm saying playing the game of basketball.
Oh, right.
Trey, you know the game of basketball.
Overall.
You can see Trey's face right now. He's trying to hold back.
You know the white dude meme where he like, that's me right now,
with
bro.
The mask over it, yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, dog. Mike's an asshole and I still fight for him.
No, I'm not going to lie, though. I'm kind of like in the middle low-key right now because I was Jordan. And then, like, I'm a Laker fan. I'm from L.A. So when LeBron came to L.A., and won that title and just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I started to sway a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, man, let's just change the subject, man. Let's just change the subject, man. Y'all going to be hot.
Trey, he was a witness firsthand.
I don't want to hear none of that.
In his city.
Hey. He doing a get on the bus right now for the Lakers. Oh, come on, man.
I'm just saying, and I feel like it's a better era that he's played in to win four titles in the era that he's won them in. And if he wins a fifth, man, it's gonna be real tough.
Hey, what E40
hashtag,
say?
Hashtag not my goat.
Hey, what E40 say? Hello.
I'm cool. See, Jerv letting me get packed out right now. It's crazy. So let's take a trip down memory lane. What's your connection with reading?
Oh, so my connection with reading goes from growing up. My mother, right? She was a heavy reader. Went to the library maybe if not once a week, like once every 2 weeks, and she would just get, you know, tons of books, and she used to fly through. I used to not believe her because she would go and get 3-4 books and be done with them in like a week or whatever. I'm like, you can't be reading these books that fast. But, you know, she got me into reading, and one thing that she let me do when we went to the library was actually, you know, pick out whatever books that I wanted to read. You know, she wasn't one of those mothers that was like, you know, I don't even know what kind of book, like the Goosebumps books or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Whatever kids was reading, she was like, nah, go ahead and grab it. So, you know, I got heavy into, I grew up in a small town, you know, mainly white people. So a lot of our history wasn't taught to us or given to us. So I started reading books on Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, you know, Harriet, everybody, you know, any black history that I could find, I got into. I started getting into theology books. So I started reading up on different religions and, you know, just studying everything that I could. So that's what really got me into reading heavy was, you know, my mom and her just allowing me to go to the library and kind of like pick out whatever I wanted to and whatever piqued my interest.
Do you have any favorite books or any books that you're checking out right now?
Man, I would say, I mean, not to be cheesy, but the Quran is one of my favorite books. You know what I mean? I'm Muslim, so that's one of my favorite books and something that I always lean on. I love Siddhartha. I love any book by Kerouac. I love Hunter S. Thompson, you know, kind of like beat writing, you know, or the beat writers back in the day. I love, you know, picking up them. But as of right now, I'm trying to think, what am I reading? I've been heavy in the studio lately, so I haven't really been reading a lot. So nothing right now. I did check out, I think, Michael Eric Dyson's book that he wrote on Jay-Z. I forget what it was called, but I read that. What else did I read? Oh, I read this book on the Metropolitan Museum. I forget the lady's name, actually. But I just read that at, like, over quarantine as well. It's a really good book. I have to get the title and, you know, let you know, but it's dope.
What would you say is, like, your favorite literature on, like, hip-hop? Like, you mentioned Michael Eric Dyson wrote a book about Tupac. Well, do you think it's, like, a great book on hip-hop? Like, I read a little bit of the Decoded book that Jay-Z did. It was cool, but I want more, I feel like more biographies and other different hip-hop, like, stuff, you know?
Yeah, I agree. The Michael Eric Dyson book that I read on Jay-Z, dang, what's it called? It's the most recent one. I wish I could look it up. Yeah, I don't know why I'm even drawing a blank. If you could look it up. But yeah, it was basically, that was great though. You know what I mean? The way he broke down, you know, his lyrics to his upbringing, to everything.
Made in America.
Made in America. Yeah, that was a great book. And I think that, you know, some people think Michael Eric Dyson is corny, you know what I'm saying? And I think his writing or even the way he kind of breaks down things sometimes is a little like generic, I would say, but right, it's definitely informative as well. And but yeah, to answer your question, Jason, I think that there should be more biographies or autobiographies. Or not just autobiographies, I should say biographies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On different rappers and artists. I haven't really read too many, you know, like I didn't read the book on Gucci or anybody like that. I know they dropped some books, but I haven't got around to check those out yet.
I remember Mace dropped his book right after he left Puff. Like, mm-hmm. I was in high school. This is probably like early 2000s. I remember that book being like having a lot of interesting stuff about, you know, his departure and, you know, all of that.
And it was about him changing over to Christianity and stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Nah, that was like an interesting book. But like, I was just even thinking right now, like, I would love to read a book on like DMX's life story and like, you know what I'm saying? And
yes.
Have all of that, or just like anybody, Eazy-E, whoever, like, you know, a lot of people, I feel like we don't have their full like written legacy.
Yeah, their full story. And I don't know if it's because a lot of rappers don't like to open up, you know what I mean, about their upbringings or where they come from. And usually, you know, it's a lot of the rags, the riches story. But like you said, we want to really, I got a phone call. But yeah, we get a lot of the rags, the riches stories from, you know, rappers, but we don't really get to really to dig deep inside of the way they think, or, yep. you know, what they, their true beliefs and whatever, you know, what they stand on, the principles, the sensibilities that they have. And I think that's what we're missing as far as like the hip hop culture when it comes to, you know, them putting out books. But again, I haven't read everyone's book. Right. So I don't know. There might be something in these books that some of these people put out, though.
I think that honestly, the same thing with athletes, the same thing with entertainers in general, protecting their story, right? Mm-hmm. And when you think about now, everybody's like, okay, what's a podcast, right? You think about the OGs who are really figuring things out and saying, I can make money off my story. The stuff that they were ashamed of, or the personality that they created to separate the two, you know what I mean? They pushed one, you know what I mean? That's how we got CB4. Like, think about if he actually is true to whoever he is, and then also is showing the lens on the rapper side versus how we do now. If you like how we doing this podcast and then asking you about writing, right? Or sports or reading and stuff, people are not gonna know that. Like, but also it might not never make it to your music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but you have to start somewhere. Like, I hate when rappers say, man, fuck the teacher, I make more money than them. You had to have one favorite teacher. It's not, I just don't believe all rappers didn't like their teachers, dog. Like, you learn something from whoever Mr. or Mrs. something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and they were cool and actually nice to you. They didn't tell you wasn't gonna be shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. There's somebody in that schoolhouse that believed in you.
Yeah.
Somebody pulled you to the side and seen whatever good that you had in you. They seen it and they told you that they saw it and they wanted to help it, you know, help bring that out of you.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And then sometimes it ain't even a teacher as the traditional teacher. It's a teacher that might be on the block. You know what I'm saying? Somebody taught you something. Somebody pulled you to the side, whether it was an OG, whether it was an auntie or an uncle in the hood, whether whatever, they said, yo, come over here, bro. Like, look, this what you're doing. This what you should be doing. Yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying? So I agree.
Yeah, we students in life.
Yeah.
What's your connection with sports?
Man, so I come from a small town in Ohio, Massillon, Ohio, heavy, heavy sports town. You know, football is very big, especially high school football. Paul Brown is from there, went to school there, grew up there, coached there. Our high school, you know, stadium is actually called the Paul Brown Tiger Stadium. So just growing up, even as little boys, when you're born, they put like a little football in you, you know what I mean? Like next to you when you're born at the hospital. So it's just something that you kind of are born with. So the connection runs deep. Everybody in my family plays some type of sports, guys and, you know, males and the females in my family, whether it was football, track, baseball, volleyball, whatever it is, basketball. So me personally, I grew up playing football and basketball. I fell in love with basketball probably early, but I probably took it really serious maybe middle school years, you know, when I start playing AAU and things like that. And then from there on, it just was always something that I connected with. Growing up, I was the only, you know, boy in my family. So I grew a brotherhood and grew friendships with guys, you know what I'm saying, through sports. It was real family. And that's something that I took to and applied to my life, just the friendships, the values, the sportsmanship, the dedication and hard work that you put into your craft. Now I do that with my music. You know, I apply those things that I learned from sports into my day-to-day life. So sports is really big and always has been.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, so being from Cleveland from Ohio and Cleveland, you know, with it, you guys having the Browns, like, is that been your favorite team your whole life? And what's that feeling like being that the Buckeyes, like, because I asked you about that earlier, like, kind of like the favorite football team in their college team.
Yeah. So I like both of those questions that you asked me when you asked me, I think you said the Cavs and the Indians and then the Buckeyes and the Browns. And it's crazy because I always say that I like the Browns, I like the Cavs, but I love, you know, the Indians and the Buckeyes. You know what I mean? It's just something about them that embody the state of Ohio and the traditions that we carry. You know, the Indians is changing their name to the Guardians now, but, you know, but you know, just something about that. And growing up, I remember speaking to teachers. I had a teacher, I think it was fifth grade. Her husband used to work for the Indians. He got me, I remember my teacher, her name was Miss Shunk. She said something like, if I did something, it might've been my grades or something. And she was like, she'll have me go to a game and throw out the first pitch. And she did. So like, you know what I mean? That was dope. You know what I'm saying? That's why.
But you threw out the first pitch at an Indians game?
Yeah. Yeah. So oh, it was hard. Like, and that's why I said Sandy Alomar when you asked
who is your teacher that got pulled like that?
Yeah. Her name was Miss Shunk. So her husband, he did something with the Indians. I forget, but, he helped them in some way where he had like a real connection with them. He also, so we had a live tiger as our mascot at our school, and he was the one who took care of the tiger every year. Also, so I don't know how that tied in or what, but he did something with the Indians to that capacity as well. Right. With them so that he could do that. So yeah, they looked out, man. They took me up there, and I was able to. We even went to a minor league at like the Akron Arrows. I think that's what they were called at the time, which was like the minor league Cleveland team. And I got to throw out the first pitch there, and it was cool, man. So the Indians, I definitely got connections with the Browns. So to answer your question, Jason, I could be long winded, but the Browns, I am a fan of. But once they left, I became a fan of the Denver Broncos as well. Because we didn't have a team for a few years. You know, they became the Ravens. So I started being a Broncos fan. So now I'm like a Broncos-Browns fan. You know what I mean? If they play each other, I don't really care who wins. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. But I'm definitely always cheering for the Browns because that is the home team. And I would love to see them actually win and get a Super Bowl because it's been so many years. And I'm actually happy to see what they've been doing with their roster. It's looking promising. But say that again, sorry.
No, I was just saying they got a really good team. Like, I like the Browns right now. I don't love Baker Mayfield as a quarterback, but I mean,
he's not the one. Yeah, that might be the only reason that stops us. You know what I mean? Yeah. I tell people all the time, you know, that the worst thing that happened to the Browns was him getting to the playoffs and winning a playoff game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because now it's like they're going to probably extend his contract. They probably going to believe in him. And it's like, I don't think he's the one to get you a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
But that list of quarterbacks who can win you a Super Bowl is actually really slim. And you look at even how the Niners, because that's my team, like how the Niners did Garoppolo. And it was like, he just took y'all to the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
And they're trying to.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happened with Jared Goff. Like, and Jared Goff, I don't think he's actually that good. That defense took them to that Super Bowl. But, like, still, you see, like, time and time again, we can go back to Kaepernick. Like, in the last 10 years, how many, like, quarterbacks have taken a team to the Super Bowl and then either aren't playing or, like, aren't on
that team? It's crazy, and it's true. And, you hit it on the head. And it's funny because during that draft, I think I wanted them. Didn't Jared Goff and Baker come out the same year?
I think so.
I think I wanted Jared over Baker. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? But, but now both of them are kind of like you said, you know. But I think if the Browns end up winning the Super Bowl, it's definitely going to be defense, and it's definitely going to be that O-line and the running game we have. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chubb and Kareem is monsters. So to go even back to that question, the reason why I feel that way about the Browns and the Cavs is because for so many years I felt like, until now with the Browns, but for so many years I feel like the front offices weren't doing anything to get better. They weren't trying to spend no money or do things or take chances or make the right draft selections to get teams better. And it's like, it's hard to root for a team that doesn't even root for themselves for real. You know what I'm saying? It's like believing in a homie, but he don't believe in himself. And you're like, After a while, you're going to be like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that's how it kind of is with the Cavs and the Browns, even though I still love both teams, you know what I mean, and support both teams, but not as much as the Indians and the Buckeyes.
Trey knows what that's like. He's a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But they did major moves this offseason.
We just made some moves, but listen, it don't mean a thing until we play. We can be on paper champs.
No, y'all definitely – going to make the playoffs, or should if y'all stay healthy.
Hey, man, we traded for Vooch, and it didn't do that. So I'm gonna take it one game at a time. But you said I forgot that Cleveland didn't have a team for a little bit, and that's how the Baltimore Ravens became a team. I forgot all about that because they used to be Baltimore Colts.
Yeah,
damn, yo.
Art Modell took them out of the city and put them in Baltimore.
That's wild.
They won the ring like damn near immediately.
Yeah, maybe like 2 or 3 years later. Like you said, it was kind of like immediate. It might have been like 2 years.
Years.
Yeah. Fucking Trent Dilfer, dog. Fucking Trent Dilfer, man.
Is that who won that first one?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Nasty ass quarterback, bro.
That's nasty. But they won with two nasty quarterbacks. They won with him and Flacco.
Yep. But Flacco had like 1 year where he looked real nice.
That was the year.
Hey. I don't even know if that was even the year, but their defense obviously was.
Hey, Flock was getting that shit off like he was killer.
Hey, because you know who they had that the Niners ended up getting was Anquan Boldin. And I used to call him big and strong. Dude, he's one of the most underrated receivers, I think, ever. He caught everything, and he would be trucking niggas.
I know Jerv losing his mind right now on mute. Yeah, I know he want to say some bullshit about the Eagles real quick, but
the Eagles,
yeah,
come on, baby. I used to like the Eagles when I was growing up. Again, I said I played a little football, so I used to think I was Randall Cunningham back in the day. You know what I mean? When I was a kid,
I thought you was gonna say Ricky Waters.
Oh nah. Yeah, I used to love Randall. You know when he played for them and for Minnesota.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Yeah, for sure.
That made me a Broncos fan though, them leaving.
Why'd you
pick the Broncos? And I'm still like a Broncos fan.
Why'd you pick the Broncos?
I like quarterbacks. Like one of my favorite, maybe my favorite football player is like Peyton Manning. You know what I mean? I love like surgical, like, you know, real. Even in basketball, I love Tim Duncan, David Robinson, players like that. I love fundamental and smart and, you know, when you really like study and pick apart the game like they do on the court and on the field. So I loved Elway. I loved like Dawkins. I loved Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, even back when they had Steve Atwater, Champ Bailey, guys like that. You know, like I always liked the way they played. I like the way their defense was aggressive. They always had strong DBs and safeties, and they was like chopping dudes' heads off. You know what I'm saying? So I like that style of football. So I guess that's what drew me to them, and I didn't have anybody else to cheer for. So it was like them.
Yeah, I always fucked with Terrell Davis. He was one of my favorite players growing up.
Yeah, he was a beast.
That bullshit-ass mustache, man. Hey, he had niggas saluting, bro. That was a weak-ass fucking touchdown celebration. I remember, Jason, you probably know about Fuddruckers, bro. Yeah. Fuddruckers used to have this motherfucking Super Bowl party every year, bro. And my third or fourth grade teacher, Miss Carrie, bro, like, she had two boys, my man Greg and Dee Dee. And it was right by their crib. So I would spend the night at their house, and then we would go to Fuddruckers the next day, and we had to sign his parent permission slip and things like that. And I love Fuddruckers because I would just make the just most nastiest burger ever, bro. My shit had onion rings with barbecue sauce. So, like, just bullshit on it, right? But it was the highlight of your day. And every year, you know, instead of having a team, bro, we just kind of front ran with whoever won. You feel me? So, like, we would pick, and we would come to school to, like, the next day playing sideline pop and shit. And I remember when the Broncos won, bro. I don't know why I wanted to be quarterback or whatever on this bullshit ass concrete. I pitched it to the homie, ended up keeping it, and scored, bro. And I did the salute. Shit was weak, and I just think about it now, like, that's a sorry ass fucking.
Hey, that was sorry back then, because that's niggas had the Dirty Bird. Niggas was dances. Back then.
Niggas had what was it, the Icky Shuffle? Remember Icky Woods?
But the Dion shit,
We all was doing that.
What about man Merton Hanks with the chicken?
Oh yeah.
Bro, they had some sick ass celebrations, but I did them all, dog. Like, I'd be thinking about that because, like, you know, now I'm a Rams fan and shit, but I used to be a Cowboys fan for like, shit, like 20 some years. And Jason, right when I switched, Jason went to the last Rams game with me. And the crazy thing about it, before that, bro, I was going wherever Deion went. I love Deion Sanders, so I was a fan of the players. But I stopped after I got into basketball. I just was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just be a Cowboy fan. Mm-hmm. But it was so funny just really just thinking about that shit. And then, you know, obviously we was just trying to get shit going, but, you know.
Yeah, I love Jalen Ramsey. Mm. So y'all got a good one. I used to mess with him when he was at Jacksonville. I wanted them to go to that Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, man, that shit would have been cool. Oh shit, that's my chef. Hey, got
old ass landline.
I know, right? Stanley, what's your connection with sport? With music? Writing music.
Music, that's my life in every single way. You know, music is the life. Like, I don't recall a time in my life, childhood till now, where I wasn't around or involved with music. I mean, I had uncles who were in, you know, barbershop quartets, and you know what I'm saying? And I had, you know, an aunt and uncle who, you know, was like kind of like in a funk band. Man, so music is just something that's always been around. I mean, I went to sleep, woke up to music. And then I would say probably in middle school, I started writing poetry. And then from there, I started getting into writing, you know, raps and music myself. But music is just, I can't even, you know, it saved my life. I hate to sound corny and cliche, but it really did. You know what I'm saying? And it's got me to the point where I am now, where I can provide and take care of my family. And I do what I love every day I wake up. You know what I'm saying? So music is just everything.
When did you first perform like a rap in front of somebody?
Man, I probably performed... It might have been around my middle school years. I think I performed. So we used to have some of the older homies around my neighborhood, you know, some of the dope boys or whatever. They made music. They built out a studio in the crib. I used to go over there and, you know, record with them. My man AD, you know, rest in peace. He passed away around that time, or like a little bit after that time. But yeah, man, like, so the guys actually brought me to a talent show. It was actually in Canton, Ohio, you know what I'm saying? So it was a talent show, and they brought me out to like do a verse to one of their songs that I had wrote on, which was probably like the first time I ever hit the stage. I thought I would be nervous or like mess up my words or whatever, but I didn't. I got up there and just went in. I was like, oh, I could, you know, I could get used to this. Like, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people show love too, because I was so young, but I wasn't like rapping like a kid, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was rapping like Bow Wow or Little Romeo, you know what I mean? At that time, I was actually rapping like a real MC, so people showed a lot of love.
Yeah, that's low key. I mean, I don't want to get into like hating on Bow Wow or anything, but that's why. Like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, me personally, like that's why I didn't really fuck with him and like that whole wave, like even like Romeo or whatever, because I was like the same age as them. And I was rapping, and I wasn't rapping like that. Like, niggas was rapping like grown-ups. Like, niggas trying to, like, put some real shit together. And I was like, why are these niggas still? I mean, obviously, it was profitable for them, whatever, whatever.
Right.
But it was always interesting to me, too, like, how a lot of niggas would be like, you know, when the verses came, niggas was acting like they was, like, fans and shit. I'm like, man, when I was that age, I was not listening to that them niggas like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I respected the grind and the hustle of, you know what I'm saying, them making popular music for whatever. But yeah, I just remember, you know, like when niggas hit like 13, 14 and niggas wanted to really start messing with music, I think it was more of an adult type approach, like, you know, from the get go.
Yeah, that was me. So you were similar to me. And that's how I always approached it. Even grown, you know, I was never listening to that. And like you said, no disrespect or no whatever to Little Romeo, Bow Wow, Soulja Boy, none of them. But even when Versus, like, I didn't know none of those songs outside of like Superman and, you know, the songs that was like popular or on 106 and Park at the time or whatever was on the radio. You, of course, you're going to hear that because it's played so much, especially at that time. That's all we had to get our music sources. I mean, that was the only sources we got our music from. So, but yeah. And then even when I was, when you think about it, if you think about some of the artists too, you had like, I don't know if you remember these people, but you had like Shaheem, the Rugged Child, or, you know, you had like the Youngsters, or you had certain artists who were still, excuse me, still young, 15, 14, whatever, 16 years old, but they were still like rapping, approaching it, like you said, like adults, or approaching it on some hip hop shit. So I never made excuses. Even when people be like, yo, this dude is good for this age, I'd be like, yo, Nas wrote Halftime at 14 years old.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't care what you, I don't care if you say he's good for his age. Nah,
LL Cool J was like 16 in
Crusty. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Niggas was writing classic records and albums at 16, 14 years old. So,
yeah.
Like, it's no excuse.
Nah, not at all.
And that's who I was trying to, you know, get up on that level. You know what I mean? I wanted to be the 14, 15, 16 year old kid who was making music like they was making music, you know, at that time.
Yep. So what was then your path to like out of Ohio to getting, you know, signed to Maybach and, you know, just being a known artist? And like, what was the journey for you?
The journey was, so, you know, growing up, well, I left Ohio, you know, and went to New York. I was in Brooklyn, New York. So when I got to Brooklyn, I was still into sports, you know, back to the sports side. I was still into sports. I was going to LIU, Long Island University, downtown Brooklyn, chasing that hoop dream, you know what I mean, trying to play. But it didn't work out. And I was like, yo, well, I got to figure it out. You know what I mean? So I started, you know, after those years of college and trying to chase the basketball route and it didn't work, I was like, I got to figure it out somehow. So I did a lot of things, you know, I worked a lot of jobs, you know, mainly retail, just bouncing around New York City. There was times where I was homeless, sleeping on couches, like really going through it. But I kind of just was trying to figure it out. I still didn't know if it was music, but I just knew that something was keeping me, you know, just going or just pushing towards that. So one, you know, I used to skateboard too. So I was skating with these kids, these Japanese kids. They used to work at a store called Prohibit that was on Elizabeth and Mott, like in Soho. So my homie Dice, he used to, shout out to Dice, he used to go over, he worked there too. So we would all go there, hang out, kind of listen to music, vibe, blah, blah, blah. So one day, and then we would all skate. So we would go there, meet up after they would close. We would skate from there to Union Square. And then we would chill around Union Square. So one of the kids, his name was Kensei, he produced. they basically was like, bro, and I would rap, you know, like freestyle or rap, whatever, spit little written here and there. And they was like, yo, bro, you like nice. You should take it serious. I'm like, you know, like, it's just, you know, my mind ain't really there. So anyways, make a longer story short, ended up going to the studio, doing like a little EP with him. And then from there, it just took off, man. Like, we was in the store one time playing it. Mos Def had came into the store. He heard the music. He was like, yo, who's this? And they told him it was me. And he was like, yo, this is good. Like, can I take it? And I had like a little demo CD. And it was like the only, I was like, it's the only one I have, but you could have it. Cause I'm like, you know, fuck it. Like, you could have it. Like, you Mos Def. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't know, you know, I could get another one. So, you know, so from there, that was kind of just like a validation. And then I went from that to, you know, whenever I could, like, wherever I could go and rap, like, on the stage, wherever they was giving me a microphone in the stage, I was there. Like, yeah. I'd perform. I probably, like, literally, I joke about this, but I'm so serious. I probably performed in every music venue in New York City except for the Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
That's probably the only place I've never I've even performed at the Barclays. Like, right. But that's the only place I haven't been on a mic rapping is the Madison Square Garden, because anywhere they would allow me to have a set, do a song, do a verse, whatever, touch the mic, I was there. You know what I'm saying? And that just got my name buzzing. You know what I'm saying? And I actually did a little project too with this band called The Wax Machine. So me and them did a project together. And so it was like me and them, and we did venues all over, like live band performing. Then I got with Dame Dash when he had the Creative Control. So that was like me, Mickey Fax, Wiz Khalifa, Currency.
That's what got us Address, right?
Yeah, that's what we got. That's what Address came from that. You know what I mean?
So I actually have a little intersection with you right there, because I was so I rapped, I produced, I don't know if Trey told you, my cousin's Dom Kennedy.
Shout out Dom, that's the homie.
Yeah, so I directed most of his videos. I produced his first mixtape. And so in like 2008, I was working a lot with the group Pac Div.
Oh yeah, that was the homies too.
Yeah. So I went out to New York with Mibs from Pac Div. They were signed to Universal at the time, and they had a meeting at the label with Sylvia. I actually went there, was in the meeting with him and Sylvia while he's playing her the album and so on and so forth. But I had just, actually this was the end of 2009, because I had just finished my film. My first short film that I made, I came out of film school, it's called LA Is My Playground. And it featured Pac Div, Dom, and Nipsey Hussle. So
that's crazy though.
Yeah. So it was like at the time, you know, like, cause I knew Nip and I wanted him and Dom to link up. So I was like, the best way I could do it is like put them both in a movie and then like kind of introduce them through that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They actually end up meeting elsewhere, but I play like, you know, Dom's music for Nip, like when, you know, at the time, and he was kind of getting hip to him. And so I end up bringing my film to DD172 because Mibs went over there to meet with Cootie and Chike. Now I had met Cootie and
Chike. I think I remember when he was there too, but go ahead.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, because we then sat in like the basement of the spot, because it was like
glass windows.
Yeah, and watched the film on like somebody's Mac. It was like a little, you know, like a regular Mac desktop, watched it on the shit. And yeah, that's where I met Dame. And, you know, I had known Cootie and Chike because I shot the Mayor video with them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we co-directed Pac Div's Mayor video.
Yeah, the Mayor.
Yeah. But I had known Cootie and Chike before because I had met Kanye when I was younger. So when I was first starting to produce, I met Kanye when he was doing the College Dropout, and I met Cootie and Chike there, then did the Pac Div. So we were hella cool. And I met Dame at the DD172, and that was like the new fly shit at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, Like, and it was like, if you were hip, you knew like Currency was kind of on his way to being like more known and respected. Like, obviously he had his time with Wayne and all that, but he was kind of like a number two, like niggas didn't really know about him like that. And I was like, nah, like Currency is dope. Like Dame Dash is about to do it again. Like,
yeah.
Like, and obviously that kind of, you know, all fell apart. But at that time, that DD172 like spot and everything that they was doing in there, I remember they had the Rick Ross and Erykah Badu video. They had just finished that. And I was like, man, these niggas are killing it. They had like this whole little production shit up there. And I was just like, man, this is dope.
Nah, that was a legendary time.
Yeah. Nah, that was fire. And I forgot that you were like, you know, in the mix with all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was there every day, bro. Like literally. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I was there every day, all day, just me and Ski, you know what I'm saying? Like just working, grinding. You know, I owe that place a lot for just like helping me even with my work ethic, you know what I'm saying? And just kind of like being more, I guess, just putting things out, but putting quality out at a rapid pace, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what Dame and, you know, even just Creative Control did in general. Like, even with Address, I don't know if Currency's ever told this story, but when we was in Jamaica, like, we wrote, like, Ski made that beat. We wrote and recorded that song and shot the video all in the same day. And then I believe we put the video out the next day. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how fast it was. Yeah, we like, Ski made the beat. We wrote it, recorded it. While he was mixing it, we took the rough, went and shot the video, came back. Yeah. The song was mixed. They edited the video and we put it out like the next day. Like, that's how things worked at, you know, that's how Dame and everybody worked at DD172. And it was just boom, boom. And then that song just went crazy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's something about, like, when you put something out that, one, people haven't heard and they see the video. And two, like, when something comes out and it's so, like, immediate, like, it's not sitting on the shelf for 3 months or 6 months to go through the whole process, that
right,
it kind of feel the freshness of it. It's something about that new energy in the world when it's created and it's dope. Because I remember when we did Grinding, like the Grinding video, Dom had just recorded the song like the week prior and then played it for me. I'm like, all right, we're gonna shoot it next weekend. We shot it. I edited the video in 3 days, and that's still like his best performing video, you know what I'm saying? Just as far as like how many views it got and all that shit. Like, it's just, it's when it's hot, it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. No, and like you said, you get to capitalize on that moment. And a lot of things that you're doing at that time, saying at that time in the music is like right now, it's current. So people, like you said, people feel it, they feel that energy, and it just, it takes on a life of its own. And that was dope, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy, because you mentioned like Nip and Sylvia Rhone, and it's funny because I believe the first time that I ever met both of them, I was working at a sneaker store in New York called A-Life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if y'all remember A-Life or familiar with A-Life, but I was working there. And I remember Sylvia came in there and she used to buy sneakers all the time. And I used to just hold sneakers and look out for her, whatever. Clark Kent used to, too. But Nip used to come in there, too. And I remember one time Nip came in there, and this is when he was, like, working with Johnny Shipes. I think this is when Bullets Ain't Got No Name or something. Like, it was like his first tape had just came out. You know what I'm saying? And I used to give Nip clothes, but nobody knew who he was. But I was like, yo, that's Nip. You know, I was trying to tell them, and I'm like, trust me, bro. Just give him, you know what I mean? Like, because they didn't want to give him no, you know, like, no T-shirts, no hats, nothing. I'm like, bro, like, but it's funny because me and Nip connected and became close and friends because, ironically, and I was saying this earlier to Trayvon and them in this, like, chat, but I used to always wear a Seattle Mariners hat. Right. So I always wore that hat because of the S though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
he wore it because of the S too.
You know? Yeah. So So he come in every time he came in. Well, a couple times he came in before us, really, you know what I'm saying? He used to see me in that hat all the time.
I'm sure he Cug got the S dome on.
Yeah. So he pulled up on me like, what's up, Cug? Like, and he pieced me up, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, kind of like, and then I'm like, oh, and then it dawned on me. I was like, oh shit, it's my hat. Like, you know what I'm saying? At first, I'm like, why he cousin me and all, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, all this shit. But then I'm like, oh, and then I thought about it. I was like, I got this hat on. He probably think I'm, you know, rolling over there.
He thought you knew.
Yeah, he was like, I fuck with you, cuz. Like, you know, so we always did.
Yeah.
You know, we just bang. And then from there on, the relationship grew, and then, you know, the music, I started doing the music more heavy, and then he would see me outside, and then we just built from that, and then we did records together, and then, you know, we shot the video in his hood, and just all, you know what I mean? So it was just always like that connection. But it's funny because I met both of the people you named, Sylvia and working at A-Life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, we had an A-Life out here for a little bit.
Yep, y'all did. And I had came out there a couple times to actually work because I was managing the A-Life and the ARC store. So there was like a A-Life Rivington club that was right across the street from the actual A-Life store. And I used to bounce back and forth. And then we opened up the L.A. shop. I would go out there a couple times too. So, yeah.
Yeah, actually, Dom's 25th Hour mixtape, the one I told you I produced, the cover he shot in the A-Life store in L.A. Like the cover.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's sitting on the bench in the A-Life store if you peep it.
Oh, yeah. That's dope.
Smart. Y'all niggas mentioned A-Life. I ain't heard that shit. So,
yeah.
Niggas probably ain't even going to know what A-Life is. That's the sick shit about it. A-Life is cracking, dog.
Beyond cracking. Like, we had, like, I met everybody just by working at A-Life. I'm talking about we did, you know, because we used to do the Courtyard music sessions back there. So we had John Mayer and Just Blaze back there. We had 666 Mafia, Nas, Drake, like everybody, even Drake. Drake used to come in there and just hang out with us. Like literally just come and sit down and just kick it until the store closed. Just talking him and Oliver. You know what I'm saying? Because my man Tommy, he actually shouts Tommy out in one of the songs, Tommy Campos. I forget what song you mentioned him, but yeah, Tommy knew Oliver, I think, from something. You know, so they basically every time they was in the city, they would come through and just kick it with us. They, you know, they was A-Life family for sure. So a lot of people, you know, did that. Like I said, Clark Kent, the mayor. Yeah, if y'all familiar with the mayor, who, you know, huge sneaker collector from New York. Everybody, man.
Yeah, man, the streetwear culture in the late 2000s to maybe 2011, 2012, like, that was the era, you know what I'm saying?
Because it mixed in with blogs and everything else too. Yeah. So, you know what I mean?
Bobby Hundreds and heavy.
You know, Supreme. I mean, you can go down the line. Pink Dolphin, Diamond Supply, but the thing was about the clothing stores, they allow people to hang out. Allow people to push
that. That was the community. That was the bill. Like, you literally, like, even when people were, I was going to Supreme probably in 2001, 2002, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was just hanging out, front skateboarding, doing tricks. People just, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wasn't even letting certain people in if you couldn't do a kickflip or something. You know what I mean? It was like, that was just the culture, though. Even A-Life, like, it was certain things, like, I remember we had a guy that worked there, you know, I ain't gonna say his name, but he, you know, if you came in with like a Boston hat or something on, he wasn't letting you inside. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or he was slapping
I can get behind that, man. We ain't wearing no Red Sox hats. It's out.
Yeah, no, the Red Sox, he was slapping that joint off your head, you know what I'm saying? But that was just a part of the culture, but it was fun. It was love at the same time, and people got to really just embrace the community and each other. You know, again, there was guys who came in and they would talk for hours just about fucking the midsole of a sneaker. You know what I'm saying? Like, just that. But people really loved the culture. They loved everything that was coming. They knew everything. This was before blogs. They knew, you know, what was dropping, when it was dropping, if it was a quick strike, if it was, you know what I mean? Whatever. Like, I used to be like, damn, like, y'all know more than me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all coming in here asking about stuff I don't even know about, and I work in here.
No, but that's when the shoe culture was really like, and I hate to be that purist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I hate that I've advanced into that, but that's really what it was before, like, before the lines outside Supreme, you know, like, cats, like you said, like, we would be online, we would, listen, Nike talk,
yeah,
all of this shit was just, like, that's where everybody lived, and then, like, I remember when this Dom and Wale came out the same year, which was, like, 2008, mm-hmm. and, like, after that, like, there was probably, like I said, maybe, like, a 3 or 4 year span where, like you said, A-Life was having events, the Hundreds was having the block parties, mm-hmm. people, you know what I'm saying? I met Kid Cudi randomly in the street over on Fairfax. You like, everybody was mingling. It wasn't no, I'm too famous, too Hollywood. It was just everybody
none of that.
Cool for that little time. And then, like, the Lions Out of Supreme started, and everybody wanted to just copy it because that was the authentic cool. And so everybody started to begin to try to copy that.
That was the exclusive, you know, the being a part of the exclusive club is to wait online, which was crazy to me. Even when I worked at A-Life, we would have releases and I would come to open the store up. I'm literally stepping over people sleeping in front of the door. I'm like, yo, move. I got to pull the gate up, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all literally got chairs and bodies in front of the door. Like, get out of here. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that was just what it was, you know? Again, but nobody was being rowdy. Nobody was trying to rob nobody. Everybody was respectful to the people who got there first. You know, they wasn't trying to cut the line, none of that. You know, it was like, yo, we going to wait. If we get our shoe, we going to get our shoe. If we don't, we don't. And if they didn't, then they hitting somebody. Yo, bro, I got 500 for you. You know what I'm saying? They was trying to buy them when you walked out the door. You know what I'm saying? But that's just what the culture was at the time. It's a little weird now. I'm like you. I'm more of a purist, you know what I'm saying? And even now, it's like I used to see so many sneaker dudes come in and they'll buy everything, but I would only see them wear certain things, you know what I mean? And I'd be like, bro, you buy everything, but you always wearing Air Force Ones or you always wearing a Jordan 1 or whatever. But I feel them now, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like at the end of the day, why, you know what I'm saying? Like, you going to wear what fits your aesthetic, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you're still going to love the culture and you're going to participate in the culture, you know what I'm saying? So I get it.
What's your holy grail?
Man, that's like asking. It's always hard when somebody asks me what my favorite, like, sneaker or favorite car is, you know what I'm saying? But I would say right now, you mean just one shoe.
Yeah. I mean, I can help you, and then maybe you could play off mine.
Yeah, yeah. What you got?
Mine is the Nike Air Zoom Flight 95, the J Kid. I got that shoe to this day.
I like it.
My producer Jerv, his is the Air Max 1, the white and red pair.
That's a good one.
He keep a fresh pair. Jason, I think you said what, the 11s?
I do like the Concord 11s, but
Concord 11.
Yeah, I would probably have to go to Bread Fours.
Oh, it was the Fours. That's what it was. It was
the Bread Fours.
I'm like, you still can get those right now to this day.
For a long time, mine was like the True Blue Jordan 3. It just meant a lot to me. You know, back in like, I think 01 when it dropped.
Yeah,
back in 01 when it dropped, I got it. And I remember rushing over to Fulton Street Mall. This is when Albee Square Mall and all that was still in Brooklyn, right downtown, where there's like a Target and all kind of wild shit now. But I remember rushing over there, you know, after school, or I might even skip class just to go over there, you know, and get them. And I spent like my own bread and just, you know what I mean? It was a lot to that shoe that just meant. And then I ended up like, I think hooping in the shoe, you know what I'm saying? Like it's just a lot of story to it. But for a while that was like mine, but I would probably say that, or maybe the, you know, like the Chicago one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I love,
not,
you know.
I'm not mad at ones. Ones are cool.
Yeah, I love the ones because, you know, at the point of my life right now, it go with anything. You know what I'm saying? Like the way I put my fits together, I could put a Jordan 1 on with anything. And I love shoes like Jordan 1s, even Jordan 3s, even 4s. To me, you can wear those with a suit. You know what I'm saying? You can wear them with sweats. You can wear them with shorts. It don't matter. It's going to look good.
Yo, you remember when they were $70 and nobody wanted them with the decal on the
side? I do.
Because they was too flat.
Yeah.
Too flat. I copped anything that was Mike. I ended up getting every pair. I hooped in them. I'm flat footed. So it worked in my favor.
Me too.
So I'm like, okay, cool. They only 70. Oh, yeah. I need the black and blues. I need the black and reds. I need the silver pair. But how you reflected on the True Blue 3s, you made me think about the Olive 9s.
Yes.
And the Ginger 16s. And the reason why those two mean so much to me, when my dad died when I was 9, I went to Portland. My dad's from Portland, Oregon. And my grandma sent me back with the Air Diamond Turf 2s. Some Huaraches, like the original Huaraches from there.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the ones that the Comer Dusson trainers, the high tops with the straps.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original pair with the wild color and then the Olive Knot.
That was a fire pair.
Yeah. So I played in them shit so much. Like, I wore them from the summer into my first semester of school till they had a hole in the front. And I just remembered them shits. And like, you didn't know colorways and shit like that.
Yeah.
We used to say black and ugly or the army shits, right?
The army
nines, yeah, right? And then the Ginger 16s, my coach, I remember it was UCLA came to watch this other player, Marcus Dove. He went to Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Like, they came to see him and I wore some NBA socks. I took the shroud off, right? Because it was silver.
Yeah.
Right. And we were supposed to wear team shoes. I wore those and he told me take them off. And like, I didn't take them off. So he benched me the second half. I played in the first half.
Yeah.
But it was such a fire ass shoe.
That's crazy.
That time, that like those in the Cherry Woods are like to my soul. Like, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was going to say, I like the 16 and a half, the low tops. I had the black and gray 16 and a half. So I ran them in the ground, bro.
Jason, that's the only shoe outside of the Sean Witherspoon 97.1 that I stood in line for. Me and the homie Keyson Dupree from Southside, right? Shout out to my nigga from Southside, right? Hey, his grandma got up. He said, come to my house at 6 a.m. So I walk through all these hoods to Southside Compton Crib, bro. His grandma started the car up. She got a Cadillac. She drives us to Lakewood Mall, bro, to Foot Locker. It's a line. They say, take the number. And at this time, y'all probably remember Foot Locker Gold, right?
Yeah.
Foot Locker Gold members. So I'm Foot Locker Gold because I was getting every J. So I'm like 16, 17 at this time. I'm like, all right, cool. And at this time, I'm like, I seen Quinn Richardson hoop in them. So I'm like, oh, I gotta get these. And he wore them. So he wore the little flap part up. He put the laces through and tied it. And so the magnets exposed. I tried to hoop. I had a spring league game. I hooped in them and the magnet came off. Cause I tied them up like Quinn Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to like leave it so that the magnet is not showing. And I don't know what I did. I got tripped or something, and I was looking for the magnet at the end of the game. I couldn't find it, bro. I was sick to my stomach because they were brand new. Like, those are the times when I really would hoop in a shoe, like straight up when I got.
Oh yeah, you putting them right on.
Yeah, I'm putting them right on. I ain't give a fuck if they was 15
That's how
pounds.
It was even with skating. Like when I got Jordan 1s, Jordan 3s, like we was going straight and skating. People was like, yo, you bugging. Nah, we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just outside. Like, I'm still like that to this day. Like, I'm wearing everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, obviously you might get like two pairs of certain things or whatever, but I'm definitely wearing everything.
When me and Jason linked back up in LA, I started skating in my Bred Ones. Remember I was skating around Beverly Hills? And I got a good scuff on them. So, like, they're my beaters now. Like, I want to wear them, like, to, like, how they look like 85s. You feel me? Like,
Yeah, definitely. Plan.
Like, I'm just, like, those are my one shoes that I'm, like, I don't care if they're fucked up. I'm going to put them on, and I'm going to rock them. But we can talk about shoes that's all day.
Not to cut you off, but that's a good shoe that looks fucked up, though.
Yeah.
To me.
It's certain shoes that just they just can be beat. Not the Air Force Ones. I don't like what the white girls did to the festival. Air Force
Ones. No, they killed the Air Force Ones. Like I be getting on my daughter about that, man. She cause she go to school with them and they be I be like, man, you can't do that. They be cooking them.
Yeah, they're having a conversation with her, like, you gonna look like a poo butt, man. Clean your laces.
They be cooking them joints.
Chucks and Jordan ones are probably the two top beater shoes.
I'm with the Chucks being beat. I'm all for
Chucks, Jordan ones, even Jordan threes to me. You know what I mean? I think they look good too.
I still ain't.
If you got some SBs, that's beaters. Those could you know.
I got a De La Soul.
Oh yeah, yeah. SBs too, like Dunks too. Yeah, SBs and like regular Nike Dunk highs and lows, and then SBs as well. So I think they look good, B too.
Shouts to Haven. Jerv said he copped Haven some black Air Force Ones for school. She too. She gonna beat them, man. Let her beat them G Nikes up, man. It's over.
Right.
The question we ask all our guests is, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Man, 18-year-old, I would have just told my 18-year-old self to just work a little harder, you know what I mean? Take things a little bit more serious from an earlier age, well, at 18, you know what I mean? And just educate yourself a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's always room to grow, always time to, you know what I mean, teach yourself new things. So I that's probably it, you know what I mean?
Man, that's solid advice, man. Well, you know, you fam now, we locked in, Stalin, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And we, you know, we gonna continue this sneaker conversation, this Jordan conversation. That wasn't right, dog. You caught me off bat, man. I ain't gonna lie.
With Bron?
Yeah, bro. I'm cool. We ain't gonna have
I'm
it.
I'm trying
on
to tell
we
you.
We ain't gonna
man.
Have it.
I
on
think.
Our pod.
I think the thing is, like, you know how people talk about Bron fans. It's the same thing with Jordan fans. You know what I mean? Like, I think, but I think Jordan fans know they just don't want to give it up.
That's the whole thing. Is that like. The Jordan fan is too many. It's like the percentage is too high. So it's like, we don't have to give it up. So we just going to keep on holding on to this. Nobody's really going to press us that hard about it. And it's like, as time moves on, if Bron gets to six, it's going to be really, really ugly as far as the basketball conversation.
But really though?
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. All right. On that note, we gonna end the show.
Even if
you
win five, it might be over.
I'm cool, man. I'm cool, bro. Hey, I love. If you listen, if you like it, I love it, man.
And hey, what was it? What was the joint? The documentary called
The Last Dance.
Yeah, The Last Dance. It was cool and all, but
hey, he filming one this season.
Hey, try
who is LeBron?
Same
videographer. You
know
what?
Trey, I know you've seen the meme where it's like when a nigga says, "I like it." If you like it, I love it. Nigga who neither likes it nor loves it.
that's from the great auntie proverb, nigga. She don't really like that shit, man. She's just saying it, like, you know what I mean? That's up there with whatever floats your boat.
Right. Yeah, trying to be confrontational.
Yeah, man, and that's 100% me, bro. I'm trying to back out. The whole
you know, I'm trying to bait you in though, man. We got time, man.
Whole continent of Australia tried to smoke me last night, bro. I was cool. I was like, I'm about to go to sleep, man. Over here, because I was like Dante X. Oh, no parts. I'm about to go to sleep, man. Shouts to y'all.
Dante Axel, boy.
Man, I got a whole pod on him, man.
He was in Cleveland, like, last, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he got hurt, man. He couldn't catch a break, man. But I really hope he can get, you know, end up on a team. But, Stiley, like I said, man, God, do you, like, you know how the black people say bye? You're like, all right, nigga, I got to go.
Yeah.
Facts. Yo, we going to end up talking. And I know niggas got shit to do, man. But, man, I appreciate you taking time out, man, to chop it up with us. And hopefully you'll be back.
Yeah, nah, thank you for having me. Definitely anytime.
Growing up the same wins the game.
A lot is being asked of people working in schools.
Teachers have more and more things to do.
The shortage of teachers right now, having to fill a lot of holes and wear a lot of hats, it's very difficult.
There are steps you can take to manage stressful times, whether in the classroom or outside of work.
For me personally, I can disconnect by just being outside.
Laughing works a lot.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. A lot is being asked of people working in schools.
Teachers have more and more things to do.
The shortage of teachers right now, having to fill a lot of holes and wear a lot of hats, it's very difficult.
There are steps you can take to manage stressful times, whether in the classroom or outside of work.
For me personally, I can disconnect by just being outside.
Laughing works a lot.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. A supportive work environment can help everyone working in schools stay resilient.
Just finding people that can reassure me that I'm doing my best and that there are people out there who understand me and can help me through these situations.
You are not alone.
Leaning on each other, colleagues in education is essential. You have to.
We take care of one another.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now. That's cdcfoundation.org/how right now. Teachers, administrators, and other school staff play an important role.
Education can be a shining light, and it's really the equalizer for everybody.
You are making a difference in people's lives, including your students.
You can have a really bad day at school and still realize that what you're doing is making a bigger difference.
We are the best profession in the world next to doctors, but even a doctor had a teacher.
Find what helps at cdcfoundation.org/how right now.